We just got to find that little bit of faith. Amen? Amen? Can I say that? Even if you don't feel it, just find that faith. Amen? Because sometimes you're not going to feel it. Can I be real with you? Sometimes you're not going to feel it. Sometimes life's going to be a struggle. Sometimes it's going to be challenging. But find that faith. Because if what you see now is not what you saw, then what you see is only temporary. Amen? Amen? And if you don't know what that means, speak to us, someone after church. God is good. Amen? Amen. Amen. I hope you all had an awesome week. Yeah? I'm trying to figure out what was going on this week. It feels like the weeks are going so fast, but I'm like, whew. Now, but look, the weather's great. It's a great day. God's going to do something awesome like he always does. Amen? Amen? Yeah? And if you're wondering, what am I talking about? Just know that God's going to do something awesome. Yeah? Praise God. We've got an awesome message planned for you this morning. Pastor Jay is going to bring up an awesome word. Got something stuck in my throat. Pastor Jay is going to bring up an awesome word. But I just want to encourage us that, you know, sometimes it can be hard to move in faith. Sometimes it can be a little bit difficult. Yeah? Like when God's asking you to give something that's the last and you're not quite sure where the next is going to come from. Yeah? But if faith was easy, we'd all be doing it and we'd all be well off and we'd all be praising God and standing, you know, we'd all be blessed. And we all are blessed. But God requires us to act in faith for a reason. Amen? I mean, I'm just thinking, I'm just reminded of the story of Abraham when he took his son up to the mountain. There must not have been an easy journey, yeah? But God doesn't ask us to do things that God doesn't ask us to give up things that he doesn't intend for us to give up. Nor does he ask us to give us things that his hand is not over. Amen? So when he's asking you to step out in some area or do something in some way, just know that it's all in his plan and his purpose. And we may not be able to see the end from the beginning, but he does. And he's not going to ask you to do something that's not within his plan. Amen? Amen? Awesome. So with that being said, I want to encourage you to go and set the little resource boxes at the back. You can see there's a big sign that says resource table. It's quiet because everybody knows where I'm going with this. Look, I want to encourage you to go and take a look at the resource table. I also want to encourage you to, after church, go outside and take a walk down to the house. Yeah, because this is just a temporary house. This is our tent. But there's a house further down. And take a look at what God is doing. Amen? Amen? Sometimes it helps to see stuff just to get a sense of where God is going. But I want to encourage you to partner and to sow a seed of faith. Yeah? And just be obedient to whatever God is asking you to do. Amen? Amen? So take a look at the resource desk. There's tithe seeds there. There's faith seeds there. And I would encourage you to go outside as well and look at what's in store for us in the coming months. Amen? And I'm saying months because I'm speaking in faith. Yeah? But God's going to do something awesome. Yeah? Awesome. Are you ready for the word, family? Yep. Did you enjoy last week? What did we preach last week? Faith? Oh, I wasn't here last week, by the way. But so I'm glad that you just paid attention. Awesome. But yeah, so we're going to, Apostle Jay is going to continue preaching. He's got an awesome word. I know it's always God-inspired. So I want to encourage you to take notes. Because I don't know, who was at Connect Group 2 weeks ago? Last week. If you were at Connect Group, you'd know that we are doing a little bit of studies a little bit differently. We're going to unpack and uncover the sermons that are coming from the pulpit again. Amen? And so what that means is you can't just sit here and fall asleep. Amen? You need to take notes. You need to write down. You need to pay attention because when we come to Connect Group, we're going to unpack and dive a little bit deeper. And that's just because we want you to get as much out of the Word of God as possible. And what that means is sometimes we need to come together and talk more about the message than just what we hear on Sunday. Because what you hear on Sunday is not you talking about the message. It's you hearing from God. So we need to talk about what we're hearing from God as well. And so come along to Connect Group. It's going to be great. Amen? Awesome. Let's put our hands together as we welcome our Pastor Jay.
High five your neighbor, and then high five your other neighbor. So I'm not using my iPad. I've left all my stuff in Porirua. So I have to use my wife's one. Okay. Father, I just pray right now. I pray you speak to us. Our hearts are open to receive from you. In Jesus' name, amen. So we're on our series of faith. I'm not too sure how long this is going to take. But we put some faith in action from last week's message that we talked about. How we said that we can't just have faith in something, but we have to action our faith somewhere. We spoke about how we as a church have sown seed into two other churches in this region to help with their building and renos. Everyone paid attention last week? And so we sowed into two other churches, one church in Wainui, one church in Lauaha. We sowed into them because we're believing for their renos to be done. And even though we can't truly afford it, we're moving by faith in it. Because we believe that if we can't just have, we can't just pray to God and go, God, just do our building. Because God is not about a church, like just us. It's about the kingdom of God and the churches combined. We make one body. And so it's about us sowing into that. And so that's what we did last week. Yeah, we talked about it. And part of that action point was that we put a billboard in front of our church. Everyone seen that? That billboard has been great. It's been catching eyes on people. Funny, yesterday we went for a walk and then Michael came around. He's like, oh, there's like five people around that sign of ours. It's because it's creating momentum in people to see like this building is not just a rundown building. This building is going to be a house of hope. A house of God, and a house for the community to come and take refuge in. Are you guys all right? That's what a house is about, yeah? It's for people to take refuge in. And so we can't just say, oh, we're building a church. We had to display it to everybody saying this is going to be a church for the community. And so I encourage you to go over there at the church. You'll see a big sign right there, and it has a QR code on the bottom, but it also has a little link, and it says hillsnz.com/build. And when you go through that link, it will actually take you to our website that breaks down from the foyer to the kids area to our office area, shows you the breakdown of the whole church, what it's going to look like, and it has some 3D photos of what it's going to look like. And so I encourage you as Hills NZ to go over there, have a look at it, and just be inspired by it. Because every time I look past, I'm like, oh, woo, I can't wait, they're building. Even though it's not there yet, but I can see it on that piece of paper. You guys all right? Yeah? And so a quick summary from last week. We talked about, as believers, our faith is the foundation to what we hope for, even though we can't see it. You know how now faith is a substance of things hoped for, things yet not seen. And so even though we don't see it yet, we hope for it. But hope by itself is just wishful thinking. But when we add faith to it, it's a whole nother ball game. When we hope for something in faith, we're believing that God's going to do something incredible. So I'm hoping that, I've been reading the people, your written down stuff. I don't know who wrote whatever, but some people wrote debt-free and they put like a specific amount. Or someone put like a 6-bedroom house with 2 toilets or whatever on there. And I've been praying specifically to that. You know why? Because I can't just hope for it. I must have faith and hope for it. Because only if I just pray like the world today is wishful thinkers. They just have faith in something that has no foundation, which is our God. Christ himself is our foundation. And so if we just hope for something and without faith, it's just wishful thinking. So as believers, our faith is the foundation of what we hope for, even though we can't see it. Hope without faith is wishful thinking. But faith must come with action, because with faith without works is what? Dead. Other words, useless. Works are not the cause of our salvation, but works is the evidence of our salvation. Remember that? Yeah? So works doesn't bring us to salvation. Works is what we do because of salvation. It's the evidence of it. And then we wrote down the 12 months. Like, what do we see in 12 months for it with our faith, and what actions have we taken place? I want to encourage you, whatever actions you wrote down, please be diligent with them. And if you fail one day, that's all good. Go back to it and go, God, I'm sorry. I'll go back to it again and sow again. Because sometimes we get hurt, we can get pushed aside from life, and we forget what we wrote down, the action points. And so sometimes we just need a reminder. Go back to your action points. What have I said to God that I'm believing for this, but I'm going to action this? So I want to encourage us to be diligent. Amen? Amen. Okay, sweet. So today, we're going to carry on with faith. And I want to share some truth to help equip us to stand in the faith. I truly believe the series on faith has an outcome that will not only bless this generation, but I truly believe this series is going to propel not only this generation, but the next generation to come. I believe the faith that we're using now is going to be a generational faith to come. So it's not just us about building a building, and that's great, but it's actually about generations to come after that building is built. And so I truly believe we're about to hit into this space right now. But before I get into the topic of my sermon, I want to make clear about faith. This one point, I want to make this very clear. That God has given us the measure of faith. I don't have any notes, sorry, I apologize. But Romans chapter 12, verse 3, if you want to write that down. I'm going to read from the King James Version, because the New King James, the NIV, the CSV, and the NLT have changed one word that actually changes the whole thing. And it's not their fault, it's just translations just change over time. But there's this one word that is real specific for us to really truly understand. And so Romans 12 verse 3 says this, "For I say, through the grace given to me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly according to God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith." Can I encourage you to go to your word right now? If you've got your phone on you, can you go to Romans 12:3 and look at the New King James or the NIV or the NLT or the CSV? And you'll look and you'll see at the end of that verse, it will say, "dealt to every man a measure of faith." But the real context is the measure of faith, not a measure. And I'm wanting to make this clear today before we get into it, because we need to understand where faith comes from.
Okay.
Because God has dealt us the measure of faith. Who's got another version? You want another version? Anyone got a Bible? Who's got 12 verse 3? Can you just confirm that at the end? Yeah, what was it? What does your one say? What translation? Yeah, King James. King James says the. New King James says ah. Big difference, the and ah. And you might be going to me, "Oh, Jordan, why is that so important?" It's because it actually changes the scripture a lot. I want to teach us a little bit real quick before we get actually into the sermon. So there's a massive difference between using the word ah and the word the. So when using the word ah, a measure of faith, means one of many. So when we use ah in this context, it means one of many. Meaning this, if we took the scripture the way it would mean, God has a different measure of faith to a person. Because if we say God has given a measure of faith, that means he's going to give Darren a measure, and he's going to give me another measure. Because it's one of many. But when we go to the word ah, within context, he has given us the measure of faith, meaning there is one measure of faith given to his people, as he has no respecter of age or persons. The reason why I bring this up with the ah and the is because people look at the pastor or somebody in the church light saying they've been dealt a better measure of faith. Are we okay? And I want to just blow that out of between, like blow that out of the park and say, we've all been given the same measure. So the faith level that I have is only because I sow into my faith. The faith level that you have is the level of your sowing into your faith. And so we need to make clear that all of us have the measure of faith, and so no one is given more than another. And we have to make that clear, because you can be looking at other people outside and like, oh, but they got more faith. No, it's not that they got more faith. It's they apply their faith. Are we okay? So the measure of faith is God's gift to us. And so this is a vital truth for us to understand, because that's why Paul says to not think of yourself higher than you ought to think. Why? Because it's God's gift. So when someone heals a man, this is what happened back in those days. When someone healed a man, they go, oh, God healed them. Amazing. God healed them. And so what Paul was saying, hey, can you come back to reality? You didn't heal them. God healed them. And it's only because the measure of faith given to you is the reason why that person's healed. So don't think you are better than somebody else or what you ought to think, because I want to bring you back to reality. It's a gift from God. And so when you pray for somebody and they get healed, it's a gift from God. It's not because we have bigger faith than someone else. It's just a gift from God. So we're not to ought to think of ourselves higher than somebody else, because we have the same measure. Are we right? So the church needs to stop thinking that the pastor has been given more faith because he's the pastor or the leader or the deacon, whatever, because the truth is that we've all been given the same measure of faith. The same measure, not a same measure. And I'm sorry for all the people who translated the Bible from New King James and all that, but sometimes they make a mistake, and that's fine. You just go back to context. You go back to context, because there's only slight variance. So I want to say this. Can we all say this together? I've been given the measure of faith. Nah, let's do that again. 1, 2, 3. I've been given the measure of faith. Tell your neighbor, I've been given the measure of faith. Tell your other neighbor, say, you've been given the measure of faith. So everyone understand that? The measure of faith has been given to us equally. And so now I want to get into the message today. So now we understand that part. Today's message, I called it Stand Firm in the Faith. It's to stand firm in the faith. I believe as a church, we're on the brink of a breakthrough. Who believes that? Who believes they're on the brink of a breakthrough? I don't know about you, but like, I can feel it. I can see it. I can feel the ground's trembling. It's just like I'm ready for it. And you can just feel it. We're on the verge of a breakthrough. And I'm not just talking about what you wrote in the last week with the 12 things, you know, the 12 months. But I truly believe that we're in a breakthrough that is coming, one, to bless a generation to come and our generation. Literally, over the past few months, for me personally, our family, we've received bad news. Like, we've been receiving bad news, and we've been going through it tough, like real tough. And I'm not talking about small tough. You know how you go through a tough situation, it's a small tough? This is actually tough, where it's like life or death situations. Like literally, life and death. Like could be funeral, could be another funeral, life or death. And so it's been in that kind of season for our family in the last few months. So who can relate to that? Like that kind of season? You can relate to that? I want to tell you a quick story. Literally happened to me this week. So all the stuff in our family has been happening, like all this bad news and hospitals and all the stuff. And so I went to Auckland on Wednesday and Thursday, supporting one of our families from here, Tama and Teresa, for their brother's case. And I was up there to support them and just to laughy them from here, as Hills NZ, just to laughy them. When I got up there, I text my wife the Thursday morning, and I was overwhelmed with hurt, and I was overwhelmed with pain. I was literally a mess. I was crying in Gloria jeans. Like, I was in Gloria jeans having a coffee, writing out, like, doing some work, writing out my sermon. And all of a sudden, when, like, thinking about the word today and what God's been doing and what God's going to do, I started coming down with just anxiety. Like, I felt like I was having a panic attack. My heart was like, and I was like finding it hard to breathe, and I was crying, and I told my wife, I have to leave here. I've got to go somewhere. And literally I took a scooter and went to the city of Auckland, just in the middle of nothing. Just like, everyone's just walking past, doing the work, and I just sat down. And I was listening to worship music, and then I started bawling my eyes out again. The pain and the suffering that our family's been through. But then I was looking at the church and where we're at. And then I was looking at Israel and everything that's happening over there. I mean, looking at everything, and all of a sudden, I was literally having this episode by myself. And within this episode, I saw a homeless man just come across. And he came and went to the rubbish bin, and he started to grab food out of the rubbish. And so I had some coins on me. And so I was like, I went to him, I was like, don't pick out of there, here, go buy you something from the shops, something to eat. He literally turned around and said, thank you, young man. And he really had not good English. Like, he sounded like, that's what he sounded like. But all I could hear him say, he's like, can I pray for you? What the? That's what he did. He's like, can I pray for you? And I'm sitting there. And he's like, can I pray for you? I'm like, okay. And he had his trolley and everything. And then he started praying for me. I didn't understand anything he prayed for. But there was only a few moments where I understood. I understood this. He's like, Lord, bless this young man abundantly, 100-fold from what he has given me. Random. And then he started just like, literally felt like God literally came through this man to talk to me about my situation. And then he kept praying. And then he started doing the Our Father prayer. And then he said at the end of his prayer, he's like, I pray, Jesus on your eyes, Jesus on your lips, Jesus on your ears, and Jesus on your heart. And then I broke down again. I broke down again. And I was telling my wife, and I was like trembling, because I can remember me trembling, like I was kind of like half stuttering because of this moment I had with this guy, and I felt God step into my room. Like, have you ever had that experience where like you're like all chaos around you, but for some reason God steps into your room? Because literally on that day on Thursday, I felt like to give up. Are you guys all right? Have you ever felt like that? I felt like giving up because I was like, God, we've been praying and having faith for things, but we're getting hit left, right, and center. And you know what the most cunning thing about the enemy is? Is that he's not coming after me. He's coming after everybody around me. Smart. Because if he can take away your support system, he'll make you feel alone. And I was telling my wife, I was like, I feel like the enemy's trying to take out everybody around us so that we have no support system. Because he was attacking every support system that we had. And all of a sudden, I'm just in this doubt, in this place of like, yes, your pastor has doubts. Yes, I was in this place of doubt, and I was like on the brink of like, God, I just want to give up, eh? Like, this is it. Like, this is like everything that's been happening has been like tremendous, not little things. And then God steps in through this man who is homeless to come speak to me and pray for me and says, remember, Jesus on eyes, Jesus on lips, Jesus on ears, and Jesus on heart. I don't have no clue if that related to you in any way, or even if the story resonates with you. But in that moment, I felt like a tsunami of breakthrough that was about to happen, not only for my family, but I felt like a tsunami was about to happen, a tsunami of breakthrough that was going to happen for this church. But in that moment where I felt like giving up, I felt like God was telling me in that moment, Jordan, stand firm in the faith. Because everything else in this world will try to take you away from faith. Take you away from believing in God. Take you away, is there a God? And so in that moment, I felt like this man who spoke no English well, except for what I heard from him. I felt God come and step into my circumstance and remind me, saying, Jordan, stand firm in the faith. Because what's happening around you is not my causing, but I'm about to bring glory through you. And that's not just me. He's going to bring glory through this church again. Everything that we've lost before, God's going to bring it 100-fold back. Are you all right? God's going to bring it 100-fold back. Everything that has been spoken against this church, and even spoken against you, God's going to bring it back 100-fold. But it's only to those who will stand in the faith. I want to read a scripture. 1 Peter 5:9. It says, resist him steadfast in the faith, knowing the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. That's 1 Peter 5:9. I'm going to say this again. Resist him. Who's him? Resist the enemy. Steadfast in the faith, knowing the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. Knowing that the experience that you're having is the same experience your brotherhood are having across the world. Do you know why that's important? Because to me, that's a wow factor. This is a wow factor for Peter, because Peter didn't have Wi-Fi or Facebook. How do you know everyone else? Like, he, for some reason, he had this inclination, this spirit move thing in him, telling him that, Peter, there's actually other people who are suffering like you. We only know the suffering because of Facebook and Wi-Fi. Like, we know what people are going through because of media and all that. But for some reason, Peter understood that the suffering that he was going through were also going through other people. And so I want to quickly talk about this. Resist him steadfast in the faith. So the word resist, if you're writing notes, the word resist means to stand against. You're right? Resist means to stand against. So resist them, steadfast in the face. The word steadfast means this, to be firm, not fickle, and to be established. I'll repeat that. Steadfast means to be firm, not fickle, and to be established. Everyone got that? Yeah? So I want to paraphrase the scripture, what Peter was saying. If I was to paraphrase it, it's going to be the Jordan Vilema version, the JVV, and it's going to say this. For you to stand against the enemy, you must be one that is unshaken in the faith. You're right? I'm going to say this again. For you to stand against the enemy, you must be one that is unshaken in the faith. And I believe this word is for us as a church to stand again. I don't know what you're going through. I don't know like how hard life is at the moment. I don't know if your marriage is on the brink. I don't know if your finances are on the brink. I don't know if your relationship or your workplace is on the brink. But I feel like God is pushing us and telling us again to stand again. Because we feel like being on the like in our pits, right? Like Joseph got put in the pit, and he could have stayed in the pit if he really wanted to. But sometimes we as Christians tend to stay in our pit and moan. But God's saying, can you stand again? Can you stand there? Resist him, steadfast in the faith, knowing that other people in our world is going through what you're going through. Context, right? I feel like giving up. I feel like the things around me was chaotic to continue. But the Lord stepped into my environment and reminded me to stand firm. And you might be going, I haven't heard God. Anyone? I haven't heard God tell me to stand firm. But what about the Samoan boy here telling you to stand firm? What if that's God telling you right now? Wherever you are in your faith, whether it's here, whether it's here, whether it's nowhere, to stand again. Are you right? Things in your life may be shaken, but your faith in Jesus will not be shaken. That's a decision that we have to make. Things in our life may be shaking, but faith in Jesus will not shake us. Why? Because we're choosing to stand firm, being established on him. Where's our faith in him? It's not shaky, it's firm, it's established. Your relationship or your marriage may be shaking, But can I encourage us? But your faith in Jesus will not be shaken. Things around you may be shaking, but your faith in Jesus will not be shaken. Your child may be sick, but your faith in Jesus will not be shaken. You may have gotten a negative result from the doctor, but your faith in Jesus will not be shaken. You may have a child far away from God, but your faith in Jesus shall not be shaken. You may have been let go from your job or from whatever, but your faith in Jesus will not be shaken. Your prayers may not even be answered yet, but your faith in Jesus will not be shaken. Because the enemy will use anything to try to shake your faith, and if he can't get to you, he'll go around you. I want you to realize that. If he can't get to you, he'll go around you. And I'm not saying because you have more faith or you're more holier than somebody else. I'm just saying if he can't get to you, he's going to go around you. How many have been in the experience that your spouse has got to you? And you know, you're like, oh, that's different. Anyone? No one, eh? Oh, you? Either of you, raise your hand. How many know, like, when your children, like, do something, and for some reason, you're more angry than before? Have you ever had that? You become more angry, and you're like, actually, where did that come from? Where did that lash come from? I don't know where that lash come from. It's the enemy trying to creep in. It happens in marriages. It happens in relationships. It happens in all things. But we got to choose every day to stand firm in the faith. We need to stand firm in the faith. Because if the enemy is not going to attack you, he's going to attack your spouse. If he can't get to your spouse, who's going to attack? Your children. If he can't attack your children, he'll make sure that everything around you is chaotic. And everything's around you chaotic, where are you going to stand on? That's why I truly believe the breakthrough for this church and for you as individuals is around the corner. But I believe for us to get there, we have to stand firm. Here's some stories, like real quick stories, like examples in the Bible. Does everyone know Joseph? Joseph was thrown into a pit to be potentially killed from his brothers. He was sold into slavery. He was accused of rape and thrown into prison. But you know, out of all of that, he continued to stand in the faith. His whole story is a story about standing in God and trusting in God in all circumstances. And we look at the story of Joseph like as if it's something to motivate us, but it's actually something to convict us to go, I should be like that also. It can't be just a motivation story, because motivation only goes so far. But when we use a story to convict us, it actually takes us further than what we could ever do. Because we're like, when we go through something, we're like, oh, Joseph's been through this. He's been accused wrongly. So if he's been accused wrongly, I'm going to stand firm too. I'm going to trust in my God and have faith in my God. Never know. Joseph, the next person I want to talk about, who knows Daniel? Yeah? Daniel, who knows Hananiah? Who knows Mishael? Who knows Azariah? Other people call him Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. The only reason why I didn't choose those names is because everyone knows those names. But when it comes to their actual names, it's Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. These four men were captured and forced to learn the ways of the Chaldeans. They're taken out of their place, put into a new place, and learned a specific way. They were forced to eat their food. Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah forced to bow down to a statue, then put into a furnace for not doing it. Daniel was put into a lion's den. But Daniel started interpreting the dreams of the king, and also God rescued the men out of the furnace. What did they choose to do? Stand firm in the faith. What about Paul? You know Paul? Paul the Apostle? You may not know what happened to him, but he was kidnapped. He was kidnapped. He was beaten. He was threatened. He was arrested many times. He was accused in lawsuits. Yes, there were lawsuits back in the day, but not like our lawsuits. But he was accused of lawsuits. He was shipwrecked. He was bitten by a viper. But out of all that stuff, he continued to stand in the faith. I don't know what the future looks like, but all I know, the future is great. All I know is that building is going to be complete. All I know is that your prayers that you've written down is going to come to fruition. But not just by hope, but by faith and action. And so when we go throughout this week, I want us to examine, especially when we get at Connect Group, I want you to examine your life and look at your life and go, have I actually stand firm in the faith, or have I wavered with it? Have I just went with it? You know that saying, I'm just going with the flow? Christians usually go with the flow with their Christianity and realize how far they're actually away from God. I want you to go home and look at your life and go, God, where am I at? Teach me how to stand firm in you. You may be like Paul, who may be shipwrecked. I don't know, maybe get shipwrecked. Maybe get beaten. Maybe get a lawsuit after you. Maybe you're like Joseph, who gets put into a pit. Maybe not a physical pit, but a pit of emotions, a pit of desperation, or a pit of whatever. But in those moments, we choose to stand firm in the faith. Are we all right? So my encouragement for us for this week, as we go through this week, the enemy, I can see him roaring like a lion, eh? And that's not like, I can't physically see him, but I can just feel his ugliness trying to attack his people. And I just want to encourage us today that yes, we know what faith is. Yes, we have to put faith into action. Yes, faith is God's gift to us. But now because we have that faith, we now have to stand firm for what's about to happen. Because I know, like, I'm not trying to get us all down and gloomy and glory and blah, 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 blah. But I'm just trying to be make us aware that the enemy is roaring like a lion all around, trying to attack us and get us down. But we need to stand firm. Pastor Darren spoke about it, like how we have to speak up about the word. We have to be more bold about the word. Yes, be more bold about the word. Speak out the word. Change things around your circumstances. Like, if you need to change the way you speak, change the way you speak. If you need to change the way you think, how do you do that? Go back to the Word of God. Let the Word of God transform your mind so you can transform your lips. That transforms your heart. Amen? So stand firm in the faith. Let's pray. Father, we just thank you. Whatever we may be going through, Lord God, you know what we're going through. Even the things that we don't tell people, you know what we're going through. And so, Father, whatever it is, let us choose to stand firm in the faith. That, Lord Father, that our faith won't waver, that our mind won't waver, even though sometimes our feelings and emotions try to get the better of us. I pray that the Spirit in us will come forth and just remind us, hey, you're actually stronger than you are because you have Jesus in you. And so, Father, we just thank you that you're with us. You never leave us nor forsake us. That, Lord Father, that you have great plans ahead for us. You have a great breakthrough ahead for us, not just only for us here in this room, but for the generations to come. And so, Father, we're believing for miracles. We're believing for things to happen. Lord Father, that is only possible through you. So, Father, we just thank you. We're excited to see you move, and we can't wait to take this journey with you. In the name of Jesus, we pray. All God's people say, amen.
Amen. Amen. Give Pastor Jay a hand. Awesome. You enjoy that, family? Was that encouraging? Amen. We're all going to go